In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Amen.
Please be seated. In 1988, Olympia Dukakis won a Best Supporting Actress for her role in the movie Moonstruck. She played Rose Castorini, whose husband is cheating on her. And Rose's response to his infidelity is the story that we see unfold. It is a familiar story in that it could be said to be the central story of Holy Scripture. The central story of Holy Scripture is that God created man to be his bride, and that mankind created to be God's bride was placed into the garden with directions about how to be a faithful bride, and mankind rejected that faithfulness and has walked into sin. And salvation history is about how God, the good husband, brings his bride back to himself, how he purifies her and brings her back to himself. Indeed, this is what we see in the opening passages of Genesis. When we read about the Garden of Eden and about the tree of the fruit of good and evil, we read that and we think, well, what's wrong with the knowledge of good and evil? The wrong was that the Lord told them not to do it and that they decided to be disobedient and to walk away from him. And whenever we walk away from the will of God, we fall into sin. God's response to that brokenness, his response to our adultery, our infidelity, is found in the prophets. The prophets are continually calling the people of God back to himself. And we read it in the prophet Jeremiah here in chapter 31. He is calling the people back to himself. And he's saying, I established a covenant with them. This is a marriage vow that he would be their God if they would be his people. And he brings them out of Egypt, out of sin and slavery, into the promised land, into this new relationship. And they were unfaithful to him. They broke that covenant. They broke those vows. And the Lord says, they broke though I was their husband. Though I was their husband, and he is a faithful husband. His answer is to write this knowledge of faithfulness and obedience onto their hearts, which is great news for all of us. For anyone who is in any kind of a relationship, we know that we want it written upon the hearts, right? We don't want the person that's supposed to be faithful to us having to look it up, right? And saying, oh yeah, what was I supposed to do again? Oh yeah, be faithful. Right. We don't want it to be written outside of us. We want that person who's supposed to be faithful to us to have it written in their hearts, to be reacting from a changed heart, from a desire for faithfulness and for a knowledge of what faithfulness looks like and a hunger and thirst for faithfulness. Right. We want that change and we want that obedience from the heart out after a desire. We want that for ourselves, and the Lord wants it for himself. He wants it in his faithful relationship with us. And so the process by which the Lord finds us in our unfaithfulness, finds us in our brokenness, finds us in our adultery, and brings us out of that and cleans us and restores us is what we read in the Gospels. This is what Jesus has come to do. He has come to remake us, to recreate us as his bride. And he says for us to do that, we have to die. We have to die, because that's what love is. We've seen so many examples of true love in our church family. We've seen people die to themselves, die to their own freedom and to their own whims to take in foster children. We've seen people do that for their own children that have special needs, who need extra kind of care, and who provide that kind of care with love and with compassion. We see spouses care for spouses who are sick and who are dying and sacrifice their own needs and their own comfort for that of their spouse. We see it over and over and over again. And indeed, it's the story of all the saints and martyrs. It's the story of Saint Patrick. Though he was at home with his family, his love for the Irish people leads him to sacrifice himself to go to Ireland. We're not all called to be saints and martyrs, but the love is the same. The love is always dying to self. And he says, when we do that, we bear much fruit. And he says that when we do that, when we die to self, when we're ready to serve others in place of ourselves, right? To love our neighbor as ourself in place of ourself, we serve them. And Jesus says, if anyone serves me, he must follow me. And where I am, there will my servant be also. If anyone serves me, the Father will honor him. In other words, when we decide to participate in that loving, self-sacrificial service of Christ, we come to live with him, to follow him, to be with him. And when we're with Christ, we're with the Father. We abide with him. And so this is how we come back into that faithful relationship with him. And this desire to live with the Father, this desire to be obedient to the Father, is at the heart of what we mean by salvation and what we mean by living an eternal life. And the Father calls everyone. He calls everyone to love him and to serve him. Everyone hears his voice. It's just that some people, when they heard his voice, thought it was thunder, and some people thought it was an angel, and some people recognized that it was the voice of the Father. But the voice had not changed. It was the same voice. This is how people experience damnation. This is how they experience hell. This is how they experience suffering. They're hearing the voice of the Father, but one person who's living in their sins hears condemnation, while the person who's repented and is desiring to live according to the word of Christ hears the voice of the Father in a loving, compassionate call to that reunion. The voice of the Father doesn't change. It's our hearts that change and that are changeable. It all starts with these Greeks coming to see Jesus. And it's very interesting, right? They're knocking on the door of the apostles and saying, hey, we'd like to see Jesus. And if you and I were writing that story, we'd have Jesus come out and say, hey, nice to meet you. What are your names? Let me tell you a little bit about what I'm doing and what the project here is. But that's not what Jesus does at all. He explains to them about becoming sons of light. So Jesus is answering the question that they should have asked. Right? The question they should have asked is, how can we follow you? How can we become like you? How can we truly see you? How can we truly see you in our hearts? And that's the question that we need to ask. How can we see Jesus? How can we see Jesus in our lives? How can we be looking for him and find his face? And Jesus is very clear about how that happens. He says that when you walk in the light, when you walk in the light, you believe. And he says, while you have the light, believe in the light, that you may become sons of light. Become means change. When we acknowledge the Lord, when we look for him, when we desire him, when we seek to be like him, when we walk after him, we experience change. And the scriptures call this justification. They call it sanctification. They call it redemption. We read it called a deification, theosis. There's lots of different terms for it. We're reading St. Athanasius on Wednesday nights. He just calls it recreation. He's saying God created us and he's recreating us. Jesus is saying we become children of light. We are transformed. This is what the Smiths told us 2 weeks ago, right? That we're to be transformed, changed by the scriptures, right? That we're supposed to be remade. And this is the promise of Jesus, that we will become sons of light. What's the process by which that happens? The writer to the letter to the Hebrews tells us that the process under which we undergo sanctification happens with these two arms of the Father, the arms of mercy and of grace. He says, approach the throne of grace, which is what we are all doing here, right? It's not me sitting on the throne or you sitting on the throne or you coming to me or me coming to you, right? We're all together here today. Coming to the throne of grace, we're saying, okay, we know who has the power, who has the glory, right? The Lord has that, and we're coming to receive it. To receive it, we have to admit that we don't deserve it, right? This is the process of receiving mercy. Mercy is, simply put, not getting the things we do deserve. Mercy is not getting the things we deserve. For us to get mercy, we have to say we deserve them. We have to say, I committed sin, and I know what the consequence of this sin is. The consequence is death. I know that I deserve that. This is the only way to get mercy from a judge, right? No condemned criminal gets mercy while still defending himself or saying that I've reformed and I'm a really good person. Well, then you're not going to get mercy. Mercy requires saying, I have sinned. I know what the consequence is, but because of your love, because of your righteousness, because of your grace, please forgive me and give me mercy. It's due to the heart and the mercy of the judge, not to those condemned. So when we come this morning to confess our sins, to receive the mercy of God, it requires us to say that we're deserving of the consequences of our sins. We know that, but it's God's love that's going to change us. And then when we come to the altar and we come to blessing and we come in prayer, and we come reading scripture, right? We're asking for grace. Grace is that power of God. Grace is the good things of God that we don't deserve. The good things of God that we don't deserve. And the sacraments, as you know, are an outward and visible sign of an inward and spiritual grace. Holy Communion is a sign. Signs are evidence. It's not a symbol of grace. It's a sign. It's evidence of God's grace. The blessings that we receive are not a symbol of grace. They are signs. They are evidence of grace. And when we receive Holy Communion, we participate in prayer and we read the scripture, God's true grace shines upon us and remakes us, changes our hearts, changes who we are. He says, although he was a son, talking about Jesus, he learned obedience through what he suffered. He learned obedience through what he suffered. And being made perfect, he became the source of eternal salvation to all who obey him. To all who obey him. We can only obey having received the mercy and grace of God to be changed, to become that bride that the Lord created us to be. Rose Castorini, at the end of the movie, has her own small temptation. A man walks her to her home and he says, is anybody home? And she says, no. And he says, well, let's go in. And she says, no. And he says, nobody will know. And she says, I'll know. And then he says, well, let's go back to my place. And she says, no. And he says, why not? And she says, because I know who I am. We know who we are. We are the bride of Christ. And he is faithful.